everybody. Welcome to a new episode of Being Sincere with Blanco. It's your boy Blanco here, and I got my boy Sir Fletch with me on this week's episode. Always a great time and a pleasure when I could link up with the homies and put out some new content, new episodes. So definitely want to give my boy the opportunity to say what's up to y'all.
What's up, y'all? I think it's going to be a great episode. You know, we got a lot to say. You know, a lot's been on our mind. As a struggling Clippers fan these days, I got a lot to say. A lot of thoughts about the NBA All-Stars and who I think should win the awards towards the end of the season and who should make the playoffs. So y'all tune in, and I hope y'all enjoy it. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Definitely looking forward to what we got ahead here. So getting into this week's episode, hope y'all enjoy it. Special episode today. It's always good energy and just special whenever I can collab, especially with one of the homies. It's always a fun time. Got my boy Noah on the podcast this week, and we're actually switching up a little bit, man. We're gonna talk about some basketball. You know, we're getting ready for All-Star weekend and everything like that. So without further ado, I'm your host Blanco, of course. A new episode of Being Sincere with Blanco. Got my boy Noah here. I'm gonna let him say what's up to y'all, and we're gonna go from there. Definitely, man. Yeah, y'all definitely make sure y'all follow up on my guy. Make sure you run those back again toward the end of the episode. You know, do a little shout out and stuff. So definitely, again, a pleasure, bro. Appreciate you taking the time out and everything like that. And like I was saying, you know, we're going to get to it talking about All-Star Weekend. So as of this Friday is the official beginning of the All-Star break. So it'll go from March 5th through March 10th. Which this Sunday, we got everything taking place in one day for All-Star Weekend, which is crazy to think about, but it's the smartest decision by the league, just given coronavirus and the protocols and everything like that. So as we all know, or what's been reported recently, is All-Star Game is going to take place Sunday. We got the dunk contest taking place, three-point shootout taking place, and we got just the game as a whole. This is going to be the last thing. And I know we were just chopping it up a little bit, Noah, before this about, you know, should the NBA have gone through with this? I know some of the players leading up to this point, guys like LeBron, Giannis. I know LeBron was saying how, you know, if they do have an All-Star, he'll physically be there, but mentally he won't, just because he doesn't think it's the wisest decision. So just want to get your input on it, man, in terms of what you think the NBA should have done, or if it were up to you, you know, would you have gone through with still having an All-Star weekend in terms of a game and events, or do you not have it due to coronavirus?
I think personally, you know, as a fan, you want to say, yeah, I want to watch it. I want to watch my favorite players playing the game. But you also got to think about the players and their families, you know. So we're dealing with a whole virus. So with that being said, is it really safe to have, you know, the 24 best players in the NBA in a mini bubble for a day or two, you know, with the risk being so high of them catching the virus? And I think that's a, you know, a big question for the league right now, you know, going into the weekend. You know, what if one of these star players contract the virus? Then you're going to have to do contact tracing. So now you're going to have the best teams with the best players on those teams out for at least 2 weeks. So that's just going to send, you know, a very bad message to not only other leagues, but to the population itself and, you know, to the nation. So, I don't really agree with it. You know, I don't think the players are even excited about it, to be honest. And I know you've heard a lot of players mention in interviews that they weren't excited about the whole game itself. So I guess it'll be cool to watch, but, you know, it's definitely not gonna have that excitement as it always has, you know, with the fans in the building. So yeah,
exactly. Now I agree with you, man. Like you said, you know, from a fan point of view, like, it's exciting because All-Star Weekend is always cool. In the past, of course, or pre-Rona, I should say, of course, having celebrities and athletes and favorite rappers and stuff all to come together is dope. And you know, I can only imagine just how fun that can be. But especially with the current circumstances of coronavirus and just what we've seen, I mean, even just from this current NBA season, you know, seeing games get postponed. And I think you brought up a great point, like you said, just taking that risk of the league's best players potentially being able to contract COVID and guys having to go through contact tracing protocol, so on and so forth. Like, I couldn't even imagine just what kind of impact, like, that would be a pretty significant impact on the league, man. Like, as far as just when it comes to both on and off the court, because one, you know, it's not going to be as entertaining to watch, but two, that could definitely have a big impact on a lot of teams in terms of their standings and, you know, just where they could rank within the league and stuff like that. So we'll see, you know, how it plays out. I mean, of course, you never wish bad on anything. You definitely hope for the best, but, you know, it's one of those things where it's kind of just like, man, I don't really know how this is going to work out, or I guess you can't 100% say, like, this is for sure going to work. It's going to be interesting, though. I know we were just talking about it again before we got this episode underway about how it's going to be interesting to see the dunk contest taking place at halftime of the All-Star game and stuff like that. And I know I was mentioning how I have a little bit of hope, just given that the NBA has been the prominent league or kind of the front runner of being able to contain COVID. But at the same, so that gives me a little bit of hope in terms of, hey, they might make All-Star Weekend a success. But I mean, when you look at the bigger picture, man, I don't think you jeopardize what's already been going on. And I'm a big believer in if it's not broke, man, don't fix it. And I think the NBA has done a good job with that. But they're taking a risk, man, when it comes to having All-Star Weekend, and it's happening in Atlanta, which was once a hot spot of COVID cases. And it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. So hope everybody stays healthy. Hopefully it's safe. And, you know, if anything, we'll be tuning in and seeing how it works out, man. But I also want to ask you, too, again, you know, with this week, Thursday, you know, leading up to the All-Star Weekend, LeBron and KD, even though KD's out, they're going to be drafting what players they're going to have on their team, man. So, you know, it made me think and wanted to ask you, if you had that number one pick, I know LeBron's team has that number one pick. I mean, what All-Star from this year are you selecting that you think is worthy of that number one pick?
That's a very, very good question. And I know when the homies hear this, they're going to laugh, because I'm super biased, man, when it comes to that. There are a lot of people who are deserving of that number one pick, but if I'm drafting, I'm looking at who can I give the ball to that I know can go get a bucket and who can set up my teammates. And honestly, bro, my first pick, I know this sounds super crazy, it's going to shock everybody, but I'm going with CP3, bro.
Okay.
I'm going CP3, and I know that's a shocker, because you got Dame, you got all these great players, but, yeah. But actually, that CP3 will be my first pick for the reserves, because I know we got to go with starters first. So if we're going starters, I'm going with Steph Curry.
Definitely. Yeah, no, I mean, Steph, you look at the season. I mean, I know a lot of people have been going back and forth about, you know, him being – he's definitely in the MVP conversation for sure, and I mean, it's early in the season – but hey, man, that guy is just—it's just crazy, bro. Like, I don't think people expected him to come back like this. I would say I did, but I think a lot of people disrespected that man in the time being that he was out, and it's like really they forgot who he was and how raw he really is.
I mean, yeah, bro. You look at it, people tend to forget that this man, not only is the greatest shooter that we've ever seen, but what is he, a two-time MVP? Can make a shot from anywhere on the court. I mean, the list goes on and on. So you talk about somebody who you can give the ball to and say, go get a bucket. I'm putting all my money on Steph Curry.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Definitely. You know, so I know you said – so it kind of sounded like you're splitting it between the two as far as starters versus reserves. So I know you said you got Curry for your starter and you got CP3 for your reserve, right? Okay, yeah. For sure. Now, yeah, I like that. I like that. I can't go wrong with that. I mean, I look at both those guys and you look at their resumes. I mean, CP3, true point guard, like you said, I 100% agree with you when it comes to Curry, best shooter ever. Like, that's flat out, no question. So, I'm with you on that. I like that a lot, man. I would say for me personally, if I'm going with the starter reserve pick as well, I would say my starter, man. Oh, and he wasn't even a starter, but I'm trying to think. I'm going to start off with my reserve at least because I got – this is a name that just came to mind first and foremost. First All-Star selection as well in his career. Zach LaVine would be – if I'm going just based on reserves, that's my number one pick. I mean, I've been on – yeah, man. I've been on this hill of him being underrated for so long, and I just think I'm just happy to see him finally getting his shine. Like, he's gotten it, but I don't think it's to the point – like, he should have been an All-Star selection, if you ask me, but, you know, better late than never. I guess that kind of comes with just, you know, the market in terms of what teams he's been on. You think about it, being drafted by the Timberwolves, now he's with the Bulls, which, you know, recent years they haven't been that great since D. Rose and Jimmy Butler and stuff like that. So, you know, I guess that plays a part, but man, that dude is a bucket, like you said, and he could do it on both ends. He could shoot the ball, he could dunk, you know, he could defend pretty good. So I like Zach a lot. And then when we come to starters, man, if I'm thinking of a number one pick, I'm probably gonna go with Jokic. I'm gonna kind of throw a little bit of a wild card out there, man. I like Nikola Jokic a lot. The Joker, his game, man, is just, you know, of course, we're in the times, and these recent years, we've been in watching the game as far as having guys like LeBron be point forwards and Ben Simmons and countless other guys. But Jokic, for him to be that tall, to be, I guess, what you could call a traditional center, just given that, you know, he can get in the paint and post up and back you down. But then also, too, he could stretch the floor, shoot the three, he could pass. Like, there's really nothing he can't do. And he's not the most athletic guy at that, too. So, I like Jokic a lot. So, between Jokic and Zach LaVine, those would be my number one picks for sure that I like. And, you know, it's going to be a fun game, man. I mean, for you, before we get ready to head into a little break here, I mean, what team do you think will probably end up winning that game come Sunday, whether it be Team LeBron or Team KD?
Well, the thing about ever since the draft has been taking place, I think the first year was 2018 in L.A. LeBron, he has drafted his teams. You know, if you really look at the teams he's had in the All-Star game the last couple of years, he's drafted to his strengths and to his weaknesses. So LeBron always drafts shooters. He always drafts people he know can, you know, catch the ball and finish at the rim, you know. So you look at it, I just think LeBron's team is going to win just based off he's such a smart person and he knows what players will go out there and win the game for him when it matters. So I'm sticking with Team LeBron.
Definitely. I'm with you right there too, man. I'm going to co-sign that Team LeBron. And I would say my reason is, of course, you know, we know LeBron, right, in his playing style. Of course, he could score, he could defend, he's going to block the ball, so on and so forth. But the biggest thing being, you know, his ability to distribute the ball and find the open man for the best shot. Like, he's always going to look to get that best shot. And even though the All-Star game isn't the most serious game or most intense game, I mean, last All-Star, last year, you know, things got a little more intense with the rule changes and stuff like that. But beyond that, like, I think LeBron's game of looking for the open guy and being that facilitator, I think it transitions or translates really well into the All-Star game, especially, too, because you're playing with so much talent. Like, you're playing with the best guys in the league. So it's like to still find a way to get them involved, even without having to go too far out of his way, as if it was a real, true competitive game, a regular season game. You know, I think it just comes naturally to him, and I mean, just his leadership in general, you know. So I agree with you there, man. Team LeBron, it's gonna be a fun one either way, though. And I know on both ends, as we spoke on, we definitely hope the best from a health standpoint. and just also not only just COVID, but even just any kind of other injuries or anything like that, man. Just want to see these guys go out there, have fun, and really just be able to make it safe coming out post All-Star break. So as I mentioned before, we're going to take a quick little break here and get back into things in the second half of the episode. So when we come back, we got a little bit more to talk about in connection to All-Star Weekend. Again, it's your boy Blanco. I'm here with my guy, Sir Fletch. Appreciate you. And we'll be right back. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Second half of Being Sincere with Blanco. Again, got my boy Noah on here, aka Sir Fletch, for this week's episode talking about NBA basketball, All-Star Weekend, and more. And more so transitioning, keeping a focus on NBA, but more so with a focus off the court. We're going to talk about the arenas and coronavirus. And of course, as we've noticed, if you've been keeping up with the league, you know there's some teams and franchises that have allowed a small percentage of fans to come into the arena, watch games. For example, teams like the New York Knicks, Brooklyn Nets, New Orleans Pelicans. I've seen the Houston Rockets and a few other teams that are in there. And of course, there's still other teams that in states and cities that are still not allowing fans to attend games, which for us here in LA and in California as a whole, that is the case in terms of having no fans due to coronavirus. So I posed the question to Noah, man, if we did have the opportunity, let's say as of right now today, to attend games, just given the circumstances of things with coronavirus and what we've seen with cases, is that something that you would go through? Do you feel like you're comfortable enough to attend games? Do you feel like it's something you'd pass on? Or what's your take on it when it comes to the arenas and coronavirus?
Personally, definitely I would be attending games. As a fan of the game, there's no way I would just pass up not being able to go to a game. It's definitely been tough because, as you know, I'm a Clippers fan. I go to a few games every single year, so not being able to, you know, go to the playoffs last year or not being able to, you know, go this year so far has definitely been tough. But I think as long as, you know, you're wearing your mask, you're, you know, staying sanitized, you know, you're doing all the right things to protect yourself, it's not much that can go wrong with you just sitting in a seat as long as everybody's spread out, you know what I'm saying? I think for the fans who are able to go to games, I just want to send them a message and tell them I'm jealous. Because, you know, that's a very, you know, that's a very fortunate thing to do right now. We're at home, you know, watching our team on TV every night. And, you know, for players I know, having fans in the building cheering them on gives them, you know, just a great, you know, the support just gives them that extra motivation to go out there and get a bucket, or when they're feeling tired to pick it up and just fight through it, you know, stuff like that. You know, Paul George definitely could have used that last year in the playoffs. But yeah, man, I just think yeah, some people may be opposed to it, you know, and I understand why. You know, it's we're dealing with a very deadly virus right now, but yeah, I would definitely get 10, bro. What about you?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think you brought up some good points, especially, too, with the impact of fans on players in terms of that motivation and more. And I know you briefly touched on Paul George in terms of, I know he was mentioned about mentally being in the bubble. Like, that took an impact on him. So that definitely plays a part. But beyond that, man, I would say I'm kind of 50-50. Like, I think on one hand, it's one of those things where, like you mentioned, we are in the middle of a pandemic. Or as people on Twitter would say, we're in a pizza party or whatever other little nickname they give it. But, you know, I think it's one of those things where, of course, the reality of it is right now with the virus, it is tough. And, you know, going out to a game or really just going out at all, it's just like, man, you got to be so cautious because you don't know who other people have been around or whatever it may be, especially too when they're talking about these new strains and everything like that. But on the other hand too, man, it's just like, due to Corona, we haven't been able to really do much as far as like being outside. You know, may go out to eat, grab a bite of food, you know, from time to time, but haven't really been able to be truly entertained or at least seeing live sports. And I mean, I know for us both, like, we're huge sports fans. Like, sports is such a bonding moment, especially when you can go and watch live sports. You feel me? It's a bonding moment with your homies, or I mean, you could dang near meet new people at a sporting event. You feel me? So it's one of those things where I'm like, man, you know, I think I would do it though, just because I look at it kind of from the standpoint of like, if I'm gonna go out somewhere and sit down to eat, like, I'm probably gonna go out and watch a game. And I'm like, honestly, the social distancing at a game might be just a little better than even at a restaurant or something. I ain't gonna lie though, I have been seeing some of these teams on TV looking at these arenas, and I'm like, hold on, like, that's looking like a lot more people than y'all say, the little 3%, 5%. But, which that actually makes me think about, man, I don't know if you heard about this, but supposedly, like, University of Alabama football, like, they plan on just having in their stadium open for college football season, and their stadium seats 100,000 people. And I was like, yo, like, I really hope that doesn't happen, but it might. But, you know, I think I would do it, bro, to answer your question. You know, I think just to kind of feel something at least. And I'm right there in the same boat with you, man, as a Clipper fan. I'm sure we can use whatever support we can get. But also, too, man, I also just miss being at an arena like Staples Center and just being downtown. Like, just the atmosphere as a whole, it's like, going out to games, for me, I would say it's more than just watching the game itself, but even just being in that atmosphere and that ambiance of, you know, and of course, it's not going to hit the same, of course, with social distancing and masks and stuff like that, which is important, but it's better than nothing. So that's definitely my take on it when it comes to being able to attend games and sitting in seats and stuff like that. And I mean, so far, it seems like it's working as far as I don't think I've seen any team that has allowed fans have to take a step back or, you know, not allow fans anymore. So seems to be like it's working, which is a plus. But kind of putting more of a focus back onto the action on the court, want to talk about your predictions for NBA Player Awards this season. If the season were to end today, who you have winning your NBA Player Awards across the board when it comes to Most Improved Player, Sixth Man of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, and MVP of the Year? You know, what guys come to mind for you and who you're selecting?
I think first, we're going to go with Sixth Man of the Year. I think one name that definitely has, you know, rang a bell and definitely has just set the tone from the jump of the season to All-Star break has been Jordan Clarkson. I think he's putting up like 16 a game off the bench. It's pretty nice. He's just been consistent, man. Definitely proud of him. You know, he was drafted by the Lakers, so it's definitely good to see somebody that was hooping on a LA team definitely getting their shine now on a, you know, different team. Moving on, we're going to go Rookie of the Year, LaMelo Ball.
Melo.
I mean, it's no surprise there. He's been, LaMelo has been hooping all year, giving us, you know, so many nice highlights from lobs to Miles Bridges to throwing behind the back, no-look passes. He's just been killing it. And, I mean, Charlotte is, to me, one of the most exciting teams to watch on TV right now. So, for sure, LaMelo. We're going to go Most Improved Player. Now, this one, you can throw a lot of different names in a bunch. But for me personally, I'm going to go with Julius Randle. First-time All-Star this year. Got the Knicks sitting at a pretty fourth in the East. I think I can talk for everybody to say nobody thought the Knicks would be fourth in the East heading into the All-Star break.
They picked up Derrick Rose as well for next to nothing. So, I mean, they're balling, man. Tom Thibodeau's got them playing defense, something the Knicks haven't done in shit since the 90s. Man, they're balling, man. So kudos to Tibbs, man, and Julius Randle, man, for sure. Another ex-Laker. We're going to move to Coach of the Year. This one is tough because there's a lot of coaches, I think, deserving of the award this year. But if you look at the Phoenix Suns and if you look at what their record was, not last year per se, but even last year, they didn't make the playoffs last year. We know they didn't lose a single game in the bubble. To me, I feel like, you know, I wish they could have made the playoffs last year in the bubble because they were hooping and they could have gave the Lakers a run for their money. I'm not going to say they would have won, but they would have gave the Lakers a run for their money. Okay, for sure. Devin Booker, Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton, they had some great pickups this summer, also getting what's his name from Miami? Crowder, Jay Crowder. Yeah. Very good pickup, man. Monty Williams has got them playing team ball. And, you know, with Chris Paul on your team, you're going to, you know, you're going to make the playoffs. It's guaranteed. Come on now.
Yep.
So, yeah, Monty Williams definitely is my pick for Coach of the Year. And MVP right now, I want to say LeBron James, but I'm going to change my mind on that right now because – Joel Embiid has been killing every single game.
He's been going stupid.
As of last night, I was LeBron James, but as of today, I am Joel Embiid. Now, that can flip-flop and change, but Joel Embiid has got my vote because what he did last night, I don't know if you saw the game he did last night. Who was he playing? Utah at home. Torch Rudy Gobert made him look like he shouldn't even be a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year, man. Definitely torched him. A big 40 piece with 19 boards.
Man.
So, yeah, Joel Embiid's definitely got my vote. He's well-deserving of the award, and he's doing everything to showcase that he deserves it. And last but not least, Defensive Player of the Year, I'm going to not go with Rudy Gobert because he's getting dropped off. I'm going to go with Ben Simmons. Why I say Ben Simmons, I feel like Ben Simmons right now is arguably the best on-ball defender we have in the game. He definitely just plays with so much passion and heart on the defensive end of the ball. I wish he could carry that over into creating a jump shot for himself. But until then, he's got my vote for Defensive Player of the Year. Philly's playing great, Team D as a whole, but Ben Simmons solely is carrying them on defense as well as Joel Embiid. So that's my vote for DPOY.
Okay. I'm not mad at your decision. I'm not mad at your picks, man. I definitely think the reasoning behind them and more has been great. And, you know, I'm not mad at them. We definitely have, for some of the decisions and selections, you know, some of them are the same. So I'm going to start off here with Sixth Man of the Year as well. 100% in agreement with you, Jordan Clarkson. I mean, this guy has, I think, you know, you kind of hear about the discussion about, like, guys playing in the right system and stuff like that, right? And I think that applies for some guys, and it doesn't apply for some others. Like, maybe some guys just kind of don't have it, whatever it may be. And I look at Jordan Clarkson, right, and just his journey in terms of the teams he's been on the Lakers. Of course, we saw glimpses of what he could do while he was with the Lakers, and they got traded to the Cavs, which didn't really, at least in that first year with LeBron there and going to the finals and stuff, maybe just wasn't ready for that moment just yet. And then, you know, in the following season when LeBron was gone and it was like him and Kevin Love, he had some spurts of doing really good. And now he's just coming to his own in Utah, man. And I think it's just one of those things where it seems like he's not really having to force his games. You know, he's going to get that shot off. You know, sometimes it might not be the best shot, but I think for the most part in Utah, like, he's been doing his thing, especially from the three-point line. This dude has become a crazy improved three-point shooter, but I think the game is just coming to him more. You know, it's like, and I think, just to kind of correct myself real quick, like, all guys are going to take a bad shot from time to time, so I'll say that, but I think he's gotten better in terms of not forcing his game. And I think just with time and his years as progress, you know, he's gotten better as a whole. Like, I mean, I feel like offense has always been his game. Like, that's what he's known for. And I think also, too, now that he's with Utah, I think he's kind of been assigned that role of, like, six man, and he's been able to play really well into it. So definitely six man of the year. I mean, you know, usually we would say Lou, but you know, Lou had a little bit of a slow start, unless Lou goes crazy in the second half. But even then, I'll still give it to JC just because his team's been winning crazy, winning streak and more, and he's played a big part in that. So Jordan Clarkson, definitely is my six man of the year. And moving on to Coach of the Year, Monty Williams, 100%. I mean, when you look at this squad and what they've done dating back to the bubble, going undefeated in the bubble, and now having CP3 and them currently being second in the West, I mean, I think Monty Williams, even just off the court, you know, dealing with the tragedy that he had with his family, and still being able to persevere and still having a desire to coach and being able to lead a team and them having success, like, it's been amazing to see. Because one thing with Phoenix is they haven't won in a long time, you know, or haven't been to the playoffs in a long time, in years. So to see them having this success definitely is encouraging. And I think he's not only, I feel like he's just provides a great culture for Phoenix as well, in terms of he's a guy that players are going to respect, they're going to listen to. And also, he just wants the best for his guys. I mean, they pretty much, outside of CP3, like, Phoenix has a really young squad. And to see them being able to have all those pieces and glue them together with Monty Williams at the forefront, super dope. So now, looking ahead into Most Improved Player of the Year, I know you mentioned Julius Randle. I like that. I'm not mad at that. If that were to happen, I definitely am all for it. Another player that I have in mind, though, as well, is Jaylen Brown. Now, of course, we know Jaylen Brown can hoop. You know, he's done his thing for the most part since being in the league. You know, them making early playoff appearances, conference finals, as far as him and Jason Tatum, so on and so forth. But I feel like this year, man, especially earlier in the season when Jason Tatum had got hurt, like, I feel like he really helped carry the Celtics in some games, as far as he was the reason why they won some games. I know recently it's been a little tough for Boston just with injuries and them also just being outplayed from time to time too. But I like Jaylen Brown a lot, especially too, because he could do it on both ends of the floor, man. And when you have to be that guy that throughout the game is guarding the best player and you're still also going on the other end of the court and scoring the ball, like, That's a lot to ask for from a guy, man, especially where, you know, I would say offense is more prominent than defense in recent years in today's game. So I like him a lot, and I know he's improved from the three-point line when it comes to shooting and having career highs and other categories and stuff. So I wouldn't be mad if Jaylen Brown wins it. So I'm going to pick him, but if Julius Randle were to get it, I'm not mad at that.
Okay, because let me butt in real quick on that. So, about Jaylen Brown, I'm not mad at you for saying that, but one thing I have to bring up is Jaylen Brown has Jason Tatum on his team. Not only Jason Tatum, but we forget he has Kemba Walker. Now, we know Kemba has struggled all year, but Boston has a squad.
I mean, do they, though?
Boston sits currently, yeah, bro. They look, just listen though. They're third in the East, right? Their record is 18-17, I believe.
Correct.
The Knicks, let me just double check. The Knicks are 18-18. So they're one game back in the loss column. Who on the Knicks outside of probably RJ Barrett? And I can't even think, and Derrick Rose. On the Knicks, can go get you a bucket other than Julius Randle, Derrick Rose, and RJ Barrett? And I don't even know if RJ Barrett can give me a bucket every single time. The Knicks are one game out of, yeah, they're fifth. The Knicks are fifth in the East right now. The Celtics are fourth. but they're one game out of being out of having home court advantage in the playoffs in the East. The Knicks. The Knicks have a better record than the Heat, who went to the finals last year. The Knicks have a better record than the Raptors, than the Pacers. Those are teams that we thought would make the playoffs.
Definitely.
So you got to look at it like, as much as I want to give Jaylen Brown that award, bro, I look at it like you have another all-star on your team. You have another all-star on your team, even though he's not playing like an all-star. Kemba Walker is an all-star type player. So you have two all-star type players on your team. Julius Randle doesn't have anything. And he's almost has the same identical record as the Celtics. Now, granted, I know the Celtics have gone through injuries, bro. But if you look at it, even with Jason Tatum out, Jaylen Brown and Kemba, they should still have a far superior, more better record than the Knicks should have. And the fact that it tells me that the Knicks play way harder than the Celtics. They play way more defense than the Celtics. And maybe it's because the Knicks have a chip on their shoulder. But I just feel like Julius Randle for sure should just get that boost, you know, for the award based off the fact that he has pretty much the same identical record as the Celtics, and the Celtics have a far superior, better team.
I definitely think you brought up some good points. I would say one guy you forgot about on the Knicks that could go get you a bucket is the rookie Emmanuel Quickley. He'll go get you a bucket. But outside of that, I think when it comes to Boston, you know, I mean, we'll see. Like, in this second half of the season is going to be interesting because, what, right now they're on a 3-game winning streak, so they might pick some things up. You know, I think it's one of those things where, I mean, it's without a doubt, at least in my head, like, Jason Tatum is the star of that team. Like, he's that guy. Kemba, I was just actually talking to my homie the other day. I was like, I would trade Kemba. Like, I just don't think that project is going to work out for Boston. Like, also taking into account the injuries, like, it's just been, given what we expect from the Celtics, like, for them to be where they're at, I mean, it's great for, given everything they've gone through to be in fourth place, like, it's great for them, don't get me wrong, but I think while you can get some value with Kemba and stuff like that, as far as his point in his career, I would trade Kemba, and I think you just rock with whatever you can get in return, in addition to Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and then, like I said, too, just kind of taking into account when Jason Tatum was down, you know, I think he really stepped up big. But, you know, only time will tell. I think you bring up a good point when it comes to the Knicks. You know, their record, we haven't seen them at 500 in years, so, or them really have much relevancy since the days of, you know, having Carmelo and J.R. Smith and, you know, other guys. So, you know, I think when it comes to, do I think the Knicks are going to finish the season in fifth or fourth place or anything like that? I don't. I think they might be, you know, highest a sixth seed, something like that. I think they'll end up in that 6-8 seed, or at least I'm hoping. Because, you know, like you mentioned, you got the Raptors, you got the Pacers, you got the Heat. And, I mean, the Heat, they dealt with crazy injuries, crazy protocol issues with COVID. Jimmy Butler was out for, what, 10-plus games, so it's going to be interesting. Only time will tell, but I think as of right now, as it's where it stands, you definitely do have some good points, so we'll see, man. You know, I think time will tell, and going into post-All-Star break, coming out of it, you know, we're going to see what these guys can do, but I wouldn't be mad if Julius Randle gets that most improved player, for sure, because, I mean, I think a lot of people expected more when he was with the Lakers. Of course, it was unfortunate in his first year. He had that knee injury and everything. But to see him hooping how he's been hooping this season, I don't think anybody expected that. So I hear you on that 100%. So we'll definitely see what's going to happen, man. But getting back to these player awards, Rookie of the Year, LaMelo Ball, can pretty much keep that pretty short and sweet. Like, this guy's played beyond expectations. Honestly, I remember when the draft was approaching, he was my number one pick in my book. Like, I think he should have been number one pick. I know some people might have questioned, like, well, how would he fit with Clay and Steph? And I mean, I'm not saying that LaMelo is at KD's level, definitely not, like, nothing like that. But I'm like, if we've seen three stars play together, I think they could have found a way somehow. But, you know, they needed size or whatever it may be. So that the Warriors made the decision that they made. In addition, You know, I think LaMelo is just that guy who he can get you a bucket. I think once he improves on the defensive end, man, like, he's already a force to be reckoned with, but he's only going to get better. Like, this dude is a rookie. Like, it's about to be, yeah, he's just rookie of the year, no doubt. And Charlotte is competing. And then, I mean, you look at the numbers when he was coming off the bench, he was doing something. And then since he's been a starter, like, he's just been going crazy. That Charlotte's
absurd.
Exactly. Bro. Like you said, Charlotte is very entertaining to watch. So it's just dope to see. That's without a question. Defensive player of the year, I would go with Ben Simmons as well. Like you said, on-ball defender. I mean, we even saw, what was that, last week, Ben Simmons came out claiming that he's the best defender in the league. And, I mean, he can arguably guard the 1-5. Like, he has the size, he has the athleticism. The only knock on his game, really, is he can't shoot. Like, if he could learn to shoot the ball, man, like, I know some people, you know, throughout the years, or at least when he was getting ready to get drafted, you know, they were trying to say he was baby Bron or something like that, which, you know, he's not near that, especially without that jumper. But, you know, you can see a little bit of remnants of it as to why. But, yeah, definitely defensive player of the year I give to Ben. And last but not least, MVP, most valuable player of the year. So, a couple weeks ago, I was featured on one of my homies' podcasts, his basketball podcast, and I said LeBron James. And, you know, I think at the time, I mean, of course, the Lakers were winning. LeBron was going crazy. And, I mean, it's just one of those things, man, where year 18, the stuff that he's doing, it's just like, this man is averaging 25 points, like 5-plus assists, 5-plus rebounds. Like, it's just crazy, like, to really see it. It's just like, I feel like we'll never witness something like that again, so... You know, LeBron, I wouldn't fully count him out just yet. He's still in the conversation, of course. I know it's been a little rocky stretch, but the Lakers are 3-7 in their last 10 games. So, coming out the All-Star break, I think that's going to play a big part in the narrative of if LeBron can really contend for MVP. But if I had to choose, like, right now, today, I would go with James Harden. And...
Oh, I would go James Harden, no.
I'm not going to lie to you, bro.
Nah.
That man James, bro. Bro, this...
I need you to explain this case, man, bro. Explain,
I mean, when he case. Made the decision, you know, to do what he did and having to make the type of exit that he had from Houston, because that was one thing that I remember. I was scrolling on Twitter and I saw, like, you know, some journalists and commentators I follow, and it was like, you know, if we could put all the other stuff aside, like, you know, I think James Harden is a clear-cut choice, and I agree, you know, but I think for some people who are part of that MVP vote, they're definitely going to factor in, like, how he forced his way out of Houston and so on and so forth. But beyond that, I mean, when you look at it, man, the makeup of the Brooklyn Nets having KD and Kyrie, and the fact that they're putting up the numbers that they're putting up, I mean, Kyrie arguably having one of the best years of his career. KD's been dealing with injuries and coronavirus, but we know what he can do. And then for James Harden to be plugged in, bro, and essentially dang near averaging a triple-double, like, I think a lot of people question, like, how is he going to fit in? Like, there's no way it can happen. Like, all these guys got to get their points.
That was never a problem,
bro. I think for real basketball fans that know what he was capable of, that wasn't a question or a problem for us, but they're definitely, I guess you could say, for the more so casual fan, or maybe somebody who may have not liked him, or for whatever reason, like, they doubted it. And I think it's one of those things where just seeing him facilitate, like, it's not like this dude is just getting 14 assists one night and then never doing it again. Like, it's almost every game this dude is putting up, like, 14, 15 plus assists, rebounds, like, their undersized team, like, and then he can also flip the switch and go get you a 30 ball, go get you a 40 ball if need be when one of these guys are out, man. And they're winning. What? I think they're on, like, a 7-game win streak or something like that. So, I mean, maybe you want to call me prisoner of the moment.
Yeah,
but
I get that.
Hey, man, I'm with James Harden right now if I had to make that choice.
But you got to understand this, though, bro. So, James Harden, don't get me wrong. James Harden, one-on-one, unstoppable, because he, you know, has a contract with refs, so he gets every call he wants. But James Harden, he can score the ball, bro. He's one of the greatest scorers we ever seen in a game, for sure. Regardless of how much I don't like the fact how he gets his points. And he does it, you know, he doesn't always do it efficiently, but I think his all-around game just makes up for that because he rebounds the ball. He's a great passer, vision on 10. You know, it's not too many like him. You know, you got LeBron, you got CP3, you know, you got Jokic. It's not too many, you know, star players that have crazy vision like that. So I got to give that to him. But he automatically is going to get canceled out because he has Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving on his team. Now, I get it. He's putting up triple-doubles, bro. But this is something we've always been accustomed to James Harden doing. He's not going to get that same MVP love because he has two superstars on the same team with him. If Kawhi Leonard joined the Lakers and not the Clippers, LeBron would not be getting all the love he's getting, bro. Guarantee you. Because they're going to be like, well, you have Kawhi Leonard and Anthony Davis on your team. We're not giving you MVP. When Joel Embiid is leading the Sixers to the number one record in the East and he's putting up 30 and fucking 14 a game. So you got to look at it like that. When you have multiple superstars on one team, it kind of deflects from you getting that MVP award no matter how, you know, no matter what numbers you're putting up. So I get you for saying James Harden based on the numbers he's putting up since he's been on Brooklyn, because I've been watching him very closely and he's been absurd. That's why they're on a fucking 8-game winning streak without KD. But trust me, when KD comes back, that's 20-plus shots that either Kyrie or James Harden were getting that they're not going to get anymore. So you got to understand. The Nets are in a flow right now, but I don't think it's going to necessarily work as great as it is now, because when KD gets back, he has to get his rhythm back. He has to get his shots. Now, I know James Harden and Kyrie are very unselfish, and they'll give KD his shots, but I wouldn't necessarily go as far as saying James Harden is MVP. If he was putting this up on Houston and Houston was top four in the West, then I'd be like, all right, cool. But nah, bro, you can't do that.
We're going to see, man.
Because he has two superstars.
I mean, I think what really has me convinced is, like, the fact of the matter, and of course we've always seen James Harden bring up the ball and stuff like that in his time with Houston and everything, but, like, you know, once he got to Brooklyn, you know, him and, like it was reported, like they said, like Kyrie was like, hey, like, you're the point guard of this team, like, you do what you do. And I think that's what really has me excited about the remainder of the season, is because since then, like, he's basically been their point guard from here. Kyrie's like the two guard off guard, which I think works to their strength for both of them. Like, it works to their advantage because I think James is better with the ball and being able to create, whether it be his own shot or facilitate. And then when it comes to Kyrie, like, as we all know, like, Kyrie's going to score. He's going to get buckets. He's not really a facilitator that's going to average 10 assists a game or anything like that. So that's one thing that definitely piques my interest, too, because I'm like, all right, man, like, I don't think we've ever seen James have as much control over offense beyond scoring like he does right now in Brooklyn, in terms of what I'm saying from a point of him. Like, he is their point guard. Whereas when it came to James in Houston, you know, he played alongside CP3, had last season with Russ. Like, he was never the point guard like he is in Brooklyn. So it's a little bit unorthodox because we're so used to seeing him be the shooting guard and occasionally bringing up the ball or occasionally being the point. But, you know, now he's in Brooklyn, like, he is the point guard. So we're going to see, man. We're going to see how it works out. I'm not mad at the Joel Embiid pick. I mean, I think Joel's been going crazy. I'm like, this dude is taking step back 3-point jumpers and putting up crazy numbers, being able to dominate inside still too. So we'll see. It's definitely going to be interesting what it comes down to. And I'm just excited, bro. I think I was just thinking about this the other day. Like, there's so much talent in the league, bro. Like, that's the thing that's most exciting about the NBA. It's just like, we have so much talent all at once, really just being able to take it in and being like, damn, like, I really get to be a fan and enjoy this and watch this is the dopest thing. So, you know, I'm glad that we really got the chance to sit down and chop it up and have this discussion, and being able to kind of mix it up with both on and off the court, you know, regarding All-Star and coronavirus and the NBA and you know, predictions for NBA player awards, so on and so forth. So I definitely appreciate you, you know, taking that time, man, because it was fun. So, you know, we're going to see, like you said, we're both Clipper fans. So, you know, we're hoping the best for our squad as well. And we got a long season ahead, you know, as far as what else could take place. We know the NBA is wild, especially Western Conference, Wild Wild West. We're going to see what happens in the Eastern Conference. But did want to give you the opportunity, man, you know, to be able to do any kind of shout-outs, whether it be social media or anything else that you might got going on before we wrap things up.
You know, Instagram, Twitter, Sir Fletch. Just want to give a shout-out to big shout-out to my guys, Tyler, Davion. They actually motivated me to start my own podcast soon, so look out for that coming. More details coming soon, but I will have a podcast of my own soon, and I definitely got to get you on an episode.
Well, you already know, man. We're going to make that happen.
Yes, sir. Yeah, man, just excited about that. Got a lot of stuff cooking up, so just looking forward to that. Looking forward to a healthy 2021, not only for me and my loved ones, but for you and yours as well, bro. Just want to make sure we tapped in, you know, staying healthy.
Definitely.
Shout out Larry June. Yes, sir.
Definitely, bro.
But yeah, man, appreciate you taking the time, and I definitely enjoyed it. You know, we got to tap in again soon, so yeah, man.
Definitely. Nah, man, I love that. I appreciate your words, man. I appreciate you taking the time to even come on the podcast. It's always fun, man. It's always fun to collab, you know, with anyone or work with someone else, but it's even more fun when it's the homies and people that you actually rock with in real life, or, you know, you got friendships and relationships with, you know, it's that much more special. So I appreciate you, man. It's always fun to work with you. I'm glad that, you know, you're getting ready to have your own podcast and stuff as well. And I'm looking forward to, you know, being able to contribute to that as well. I know it's going to be super dope, man, and looking forward to it. So y'all make sure y'all keep up with my boy, follow him on socials and everything like that. And, you know, of course, we'll have some new content for Being Sincere with Blanco podcast moving forward. And hopefully everybody will be tuned in All-Star Weekend. If anything, you know, we'll be chopping it up, of course. Hit us up on social media, Twitter, Instagram, everything like that. Y'all stay safe out here, man. Wear y'all mask and everything. And appreciate everyone tuning in. So, nonetheless, this is Blanco, newest episode of Being Sincere with Blanco. Here with my boy, Sir Fletch. Appreciate y'all taking the time. Y'all stay safe. Peace out.